Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, Little NFL. Ian, how are you? Joe and Evan?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
All right, good.
Fantastic.
Good.
And, of course, Ian is the NFL Network insider. You can follow him on Twitter at Rapsheet. Mm. You know what? I've been meaning to ask you this, because you and all the NFL insiders, you guys break some interesting stories on Sunday mornings, whether it's the Gronk news or something else. Why is that? I mean, why is Sunday morning such a hot time for all you dudes breaking these big NFL stories?
You know, basically, for the season, our biggest platform, I guess you would say, is our pregame show. And so, you know, I try to break news whenever possible. I mean, Mondays are always big with injuries and there's quarterback changes and coaches getting hired and fired. But really for Sundays, the most interested NFL viewers are watching our pregame show. So basically what I'll do, and, you know, what everyone will do, is you want to give people good reason to watch on Sunday. So if I get something good, if I don't think anyone else is going to have it, then I'll kind of save it a little bit for Sunday morning, and I'll plan it out. You work kind of extra hard or whatever you would say toward the end of the week, and you hope to give some good nuggets about who's playing in fantasy and gambling, and there's all sorts of stuff. But that's kind of why.
Okay. Very interesting.
Ian, does it make you delirious like it does me, the amount of ridiculous rules that are all over this sport now, obviously starting with the roughing the passer? I mean, it's getting out of hand. I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, and I've been watching football since like 1960. It's a joke is what's going on. What's your thoughts on all of that?
Look, it is hard to feel good about what's happening with the roughing the passer rule right now. It's just, I mean, and I am, as a fan of football, forget what I do for a second, but as a fan of football, I'm in favor of these rules protecting quarterbacks, because the game is not as good when you have, you know, C.J. Beathard on the sidelines or whatever it is.
Jimmy Garoppolo, by the way, got hurt without even getting hit. So, I mean, you know, it's going to happen. Injuries happen.
But if you can control it, you know, the Aaron Rodgers hit from a couple years ago where he broke his collarbone, that did not need to happen, okay? So there are plenty of these things, and I am in favor of it, protecting the quarterback. But what's happened now, I think, has been too much. And, you know, it was interesting to hear the competition committee members just kind of quietly, but over the last couple of days, be like, okay, maybe it is too much. And, you know, as Judy Batista, my colleague, reported this morning, they're going to have a conference call next week, and my guess is go back to the letter of the law and kind of dial it back. We'll see what ends up happening, but you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see them dial it back a little bit, because I don't think anyone likes the way this has played out or the debate surrounding it.
No, it's not good.
It's terrible.
Takes away from what has been at times really good football and really surprising
really
results.
Yeah.
It takes attention away from it. And it's funny, because coming into the season, the fear wasn't this as much as it was the new helmet rule, and that's been
called that at all, really.
I think only twice.
I was gonna say, yeah, and we haven't noticed it. Now, maybe what has happened, which I think is the hope with all these rules, is that players adjusted the way they tackle or block, or, you know, running backs duck in their head when they have the ball. I mean, I would assume players adjusted some, but there was a lot of discussion over a rule that has literally only happened twice in 3 weeks, whereas I don't hardly remember discussing at all the, you know, rule about scooping and landing on the quarterback or body weight. I was paying attention in the offseason, and I don't remember that being a big discussion at all.
Mm. Talking to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, what's your thoughts right now on the Patriots? We've seen it before where they've gotten off to shaky starts in September and then they don't lose again. But, I mean, do you see a different feel of this team than the years gone by? You think they're just going to be the usual 12-4 for New England?
I would say usual 12-4 for New England.
Okay.
Now, you know, when I talk to – you never get this from the Patriots. When I talk to people who've worked there, people who've played there, what they generally say is the Patriots will use the month of September to tinker, to rotate offensive linemen,
right,
to bring receivers in and out, I mean, the timing of the Josh Gordon trade was not, you know, something that was decided by the Patriots. It was when the Browns decided they wanted to release him. But it is kind of what the Patriots do, which is bring guys in week two, three, four, see if they can work, and then if they do, all right, you're our guy going forward. If he's healthy, I would expect him to be out on the field this week, and maybe that's kind of what they need offensively. But they really do take the first month of the season and say, we need to figure out what works. And then by the time October hits, start to win some games, and by the time November, December hits, they win all of their games. They literally win all of their games. The last
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah. That's been the MO.
And that's what they're going to do. You know, the Gronkowski stuff, I remember Joe was saying it during the offseason. He basically expected the Patriots to trade Rob Gronkowski. It's what Belichick has done. But I think about this offense and what it would look like. And it's not pretty so far through three games. But what it would look like without Rob Gronkowski. What was the thought behind even pursuing a serious trade of sending him to the Detroit Lions?
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the things we save for Sunday. I actually saved that one for a couple months. And I talked about that in our opening week one Sunday, just because it was Gronkowski and it was the Patriots trying to trade him, and they did get close. I thought the trade was going to happen during draft week, and Gronkowski said, I'm not playing for any other quarterback besides Tom Brady, and if you trade me anywhere, forget Detroit, if you trade me anywhere, then I'm going to retire. And the thinking was, you know the Patriots, I mean, they... When guys want third contracts, if your name is not Tom Brady, generally it's hard. And Gronk still has not gotten the third contract, by the way, but did tinker with another year of his second contract, got a little more incentives or whatever. But generally what they do is when a guy's about to get his third deal, they trade him. Richard Seymour, that was, you know, that was probably the biggest example during my time covering the Patriots. Guys just do not have a lot of success on their third contracts, and history says this is when they try to deal them and just move forward with someone younger. They did try to do it, and Gronk said no, and good for him taking a stance, and now they're just going to move forward with him until. But, I mean, you know, I don't know what their offense would have looked like, but I would imagine they would have drafted a tight end had they traded Gronk.
Are you buying the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah. I mean, I'm buying them as far as they, I think they will be very much in the mix for the playoffs. I don't think they're a team that's going to suddenly collapse. I also don't think they're going to be a juggernaut. Like, to me, they seem like the team they were 2 years ago when, you know, they'll get in the playoffs at 9-7 and we'll see. But I never understood people who thought they were just going to be terrible. Like, I don't, their quarterback is, you know, a top half of, you know, but say middle, mediocre quarterback. Right, probably somewhere between 12 and 18.
Okay, he's fine. Okay,
they got some good running backs. They got some good playmakers. Their defense is good enough. They got some guys who can rush the pass. I mean, they're really fine. I just and Gase is a great coach. I never understood why people thought they would suck.
Maybe hope. Maybe that was our.
Maybe it's because we're Jet fans, you know, which unfortunately for us, but,
yeah.
You know.
Hope that was my thought.
Right.
We're talking to you, Rappaport. Yeah. About the NFL, will the Steelers really trade Le'Veon Bell before the trade deadline of October, I think October 30th? Are they going to really deal him?
It's possible. You know, a lot of times when these trade talks happen, you're sort of like, you know, it's going to be much ado about nothing. Like, I don't think this is much ado about nothing. I think this is something. The fact that the Steelers are willing to trade him, you know, it's like when a player says, yeah, I'm sort of considering retirement. Like, that means you're retiring. You know, a lot of times when a team is all of a sudden willing to consider trading him, that means one, they're getting calls, which I know they are. Two, like, they think it's possible. And I don't know that 100% it's going to happen, but it's possible. And, you know, it would take someone willing to take on the salary.
Right.
Someone willing to trade for him without knowing 100% you're going to get a deal done. There's a lot of things at play. Also, is Bell going to show up? You know, you can't do a long-term deal right now, so is he going to show up and sort of take a gamble? There's a lot of factors, but I do think it is possible. And I think the Steelers are in a position where they're going to be okay without him.
Are the Jets going to be heavily aggressive, and what would they offer for him?
I would say I would not. I don't know that they're going to be heavily aggressive. I do think they'll consider it. As far as what it would be, you know, think about it. Let's say the Steelers just do nothing. He shows up week 10, plays great because he's great. They go to the playoffs, he plays well, he signs a huge deal as a free agent, they would get a third-round compensatory pick, regardless.
Right.
So it would have to be better than that. in order for them to not have him and trade him. So maybe a second rounder would be something that the Steelers would consider.
But can I ask
there's no way I'm trading a second rounder as a Jet fan for Le'Veon Bell.
No, I wouldn't either. But
no
if,
shot.
If I'm the Steelers, unless you're telling me, and I trust you, you know what? They got to get him out of there. They just have to. The players don't want him there. It's a bad situation. Why would I deal him then? If I'm going to get a third-round pick and I can insert him back into the lineup week nine.
Why would you even trade him?
Why would I even deal him then?
Unless, first of all, you think you can get a better deal. Like, let's say, all right, we're going to get a first-rounder. Then I'd say that's an easy decision. If it's a second-rounder, that's, you know, if you're going to really get a legit second-rounder for a guy who's going to play 8 games and then leave, like, same thing with the Patriots and Garoppolo. Like, I really thought they did fine. You know, they got a second rounder for a guy who played 2 games, was a backup, wasn't going to play, and was going to, you know, not re-sign with them. I thought that was an easy decision. I think it's the Steelers can get it. I would say a second rounder. I think they would do very well. The other thing is, I think he's going to show up this year, but you do not know for sure. Mm-hmm. So what if he just doesn't? What if he says, screw it, franchise me again next year? I mean, he's already gone this far. He's already cost himself millions. Maybe he goes even further.
Talking to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, do they, or and if they are, when will they make the switch in Tampa to Winston, or do you think it won't happen?
I don't think it'll happen this week. I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen this week. I would say whenever Fitzpatrick opens the door. So, I mean, you guys have seen, you've seen the good fits. You've seen the bad fits. You've seen everything in between. You know that a lot of times it kind of comes back around and he turns back into a pumpkin. But you sort of just ride him as long as you can. So I would imagine the Bucs are going to ride him as long as he can. And, you know, you'll get to a game where you got to have it and he's thrown 2 picks in the first half and you say, all right, let's go. And that's what I would imagine probably happens here. They move forward with him until it's time to move on without him.
We're talking to Ian Rappaport. There's so many different things about NFL rules that I could complain about. I already complained about one with the down-by-contact rule that took a touchdown off the board. But there's something that's been bothering me now for over a year, and I hated it when the NFL first announced it. And I think it's been a big factor so far this year, and that's cutting the 5 minutes off of overtime. Mm. We had back-to-back weeks with a tie. I honestly thought watching Saints-Falcons, boy, you know, if Atlanta can hold them to 3, and then they march down the field and score 3, we're going to get another tie. Yeah. Does this concern anybody, or am I just screaming to myself about the fact that eliminating the 5 minutes was stupid?
Yeah, I would say you're screaming to yourself.
All right.
I really like it because...
What?
First of all, yeah, I know. Ties are not that bad. I mean, they're annoying, but they're really not a terrible, terrible thing. The 5 minutes doesn't seem like a lot, but guys are dead. I mean, that's when injuries can happen. Just, you know, let's say you get a team, plays late Sunday, and then Thursday, and then they played overtime and a whole extra quarter, the injury risk. Plus, I mean, history just doesn't show that there's a ton of – like, I know those teams tied, but they might have tied with five if there was an extra 5 minutes anyway. Like, I don't – like, that Brown-Steelers game, nobody was making a kick, you know? I don't think it makes that much of a difference. I don't think ties are that bad. I just don't think it's worth the injury risk.
At least you're a Met fan. That's awesome.
Lucky him. He's so lucky to be one.
Well, we share that.
I'm confident. I'm already confident for next year.
You're confident for next year.
Well, you're buying into how they've played.
Right.
I get it.
Yeah.
They really, except for the month when they were the worst team in the world, they really have played pretty
good. Give me your, all right, let's go to, because we're Met fans too. You know, I like pain. So I'm a Met fan, a Jet fan, all of that. Knicks.
I enjoy
never winning. So, yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
You know, it's just great.
I'm on board.
Yeah, you're on board. Anyway, so give me your starting lineup for the Mets next year. I mean, first base, second base. Go ahead. Let me hear it. Opening day, who's playing first base? And it is going to be Dominic Smith, I can tell you that.
No, I very sadly, I do not think it's going to be Dominic Smith. Although, at least we get to see. I would say...
Jay Bruce,
yeah. I would say probably Jay Bruce. And that's real. I mean, I didn't love that signing anyway. I would say that's probably fine.
You like McNeil, right, at second?
Yeah.
Rosario at short, right? Unless they sign Machado, which we know that's not happening, God forbid.
But if Bruce
God forbid they did that.
If Bruce plays first base, right? McNeil's at second, Rosario's at
short. It seems like that's going to happen, right?
So then where are they adding anybody other than center field and maybe catcher? Those would be the only two positions
Cespedes
they could add.
Cespedes isn't going to play all year. He'll come back his walk year and have a big year.
Center field, you think, really?
Well, who's playing center field?
No, they have to add a center field.
Yeah, who's playing center field? Right? Austin Jackson?
Ozars? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and then when's he going to get hurt? By May, he'll be out of the lineup again.
April.
April. Sorry.
He's so good, though.
He's going to be never played.
Catcher, yes. I would say to me, let's say you had a catcher and a center fielder. You had a fifth starter. Obviously, all of the bullpen you can possibly add. Like, I'm fine with that.
You're fine.
More than anything. Their bullpen's got to be better. I mean, that may be more important than even
their bullpen is horrible.
The offense, because they could conceivably have a decent offense with what they have. That wouldn't please me, but they could. Their bullpen was a disaster.
Are you sold on? Let me ask you this: are you sold on Conforto now?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
And how about Nimmo? Are you sold on him?
As a totally average starting player,
but he's not really when you know he's guys got like a 400 on base percentage. That's like unbelievable now in baseball.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, is he going to continue this? Like, I still remember 2 years ago when everyone thought he was going to be a bench player and kind of a.
But he's got to be. He's got to be a starting right fielder going into the year, doesn't he?
I would imagine, but I'm just saying, like overall, am I expecting this to be like this for the rest of his career? Like, probably not. But that's okay. Like, he'll be a totally average starting player.
Yeah, the Mets themselves, forget us as fans, the Mets themselves viewed him as a bench player 2 years ago, and now he is an everyday player.
No question.
I remember getting calls from my brother being like, you know, reading all the scouting report. He's a big Mets fan, too. Reading all the scouting reports and being like, yeah, runs of the family. My dad's a Yankee fan.
He's the smart one.
So annoying. getting calls from him being like, you know, look, the reality is Nimmo's going to be a bench player, and it's not what you want, but it's fine. I'm like, okay. Like, he's going to be more than that, so that's good.
Yeah.
But, bullpen, I mean, sign 9 guys to, you know, contract, cut, you know, release 4 of them, and that's it. And that's the bullpen.
There you go.
That's great. Well, Gazelman and Lugo aren't terrible.
No, they're
okay. Let's not get nuts.
I said not
Gazelman
terrible.
I
didn't say not terrible. I didn't say great.
All right. They're not terrible.
Right.
They need a lot of not terribles.
Right.
A lot of goods for a change instead of not terribles.
Wow. Well.
Hey.
No, because not terrible in bullpen means, like, I'll take 9 guys who are not terrible, sign some little contracts, 6 will be randomly great for a year. I mean, that's what happens in the bullpen.
Bullpens are tough to predict. That is for sure.
Very hard.
Very tough.
Yep.
Ian, always great talking to you. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Ian.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Ian Rappaport, NFL Network Insider. You can follow him on Twitter at Rapsheet, especially Sunday morning when he drops some kind of big news story.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.